welcome to this episode of That's What She Said. Today I'm mixing it up. I just recorded a fairly intense class for my Patreon subscribers, and I'm giving you the first half of it for free. And then if you're like, I would like to listen to the rest, go and subscribe to Patreon. What happens over there at kristenkelp.com/community or at Patreon, Patreon/KKALP, whichever you prefer. What happens is every month I release a long-ish, like 40 to 60 minute long podcast episode, and then we discuss it, and I take absolutely any of your questions at our live Order of the Phoenix meeting each month, and then I list a few new poems just because I can, just because I like to give you a behind the scenes of this is what I'm working on right now. This is like hot off the presses, fresh off the pages, all of that kind of stuff, and I like to share it with my peeps there first. So, kristenkelp.com/community. It's $8 a month, and it is well worth the cost, I promise. So, that said, this is the first half of how to find, refine, and actually use your voice. And if you dig it, kristenkelp.com/community to sign up for a Patreon sponsorship. Thank you so, so much for listening, and let me know what you think. Before we hop into the big work of finding, refining, and using your voice, let's review the three threads. This is, as far as I know, an original concept of mine, which is why you might be like, what are you talking about? I have never heard of the three threads before. Right, I know. Thus, an explanation. Also, they're explored in way more detail, like an hour's worth of detail, because this is a really big deal, and this is the opener of Brave as well, in podcast 105, which is called How to Get to Anywhere You Want to Go, if you want to pop over to kristenkelp.com and look for that one. So after finding, buying, and doing a number of 6 or 7 step programs to help grow my business, find my path, and hone in on my truest work, and by a number, I mean shit tons, and by some, I mean many thousands of dollars were spent, I got really frustrated. I was always off base or outside the formula, or like, is this dude smoking crack? By step 3 of any given 7-step program. Could I please, please not pay thousands of dollars to use less than 40% of any given class? Please? And the answer was no, not when it came to ways to build my business, grow my following, double my list, double my Instagram. All those things were just not helpful. So over the course of years, I made my own strategy for navigating my life. It doesn't have steps, which means you can't lose the plot by missing a step. And I call it the three threads. Keeping hold of the three threads will help you to be certain you're going the right way on any given day. Thread 1, the physical world. This thread keeps you connected to your body and to your well-being. If you're tending to the physical world thread, you're getting enough sleep, you're hydrating regularly, and you're giving yourself the gift of nutrition. You're consuming nourishing foods and avoiding allergens or foods that you know upset your body. You get bonus physical world points for regular movement and for getting plenty of sex. By yourself, with someone else, all counts. This thread forms the foundation for the others as moving toward becoming a fully alive, spiritually enlightened genius, which is my hope for everyone, isn't possible if you give up on things like eating, sleeping, and drinking water. Beyond the physical world, we move to the interior continent thread. This is the thread in which you feel connected to what's going on inside of yourself or your interior continent. The interior continent is made up of the parts of you that no one else can see, know, feel, or explore on your behalf. The parts of the spectrum of human experience that live within you and you alone. Unless the interior continent's landscape is expressed in some way, there's no way for me to know which feelings, sensations, thoughts, or experiences are happening inside of your body, mind, and spirit at any given time. When you stay closely connected to your interior continent, you get better at both exploring and expressing what you're experiencing on any given day. This gives birth to art, to writing, to good conversations, to boundaries, and to easy decision-making. The more connected you are, the easier it is to say yes or no to people, yes or no to projects, experiences, ideas, and concepts as they present themselves. The final thread is your truest work. If you can keep hold of the physical world and your interior consonant threads, and that's not easy, you'll most likely be led to your truest work. Your truest work is something like asking a bunch of questions, like which gifts have you been given and how can you return them to the world in some form? Which work do you do, whether it's paid or not, that helps you feel as if you're returning to yourself, to your true nature, or to your soul? Which activities, movements, gestures, actions, or tasks feel easy as breathing? Those are clues that point you in the direction of your truest work. Your truest work may be, but is not necessarily, the work you'll be paid to do. Case in point there is parenting. People that are born parents and that are born nurturers and that are born just made to be people who bring other people into the world. I'm so sorry that you're not paid for that. I'm so sorry that you don't get like pay increases commensurate with levels of experience and joy. So some people's true work is being a parent, and I'm sorry that's not something that you get paid for. Like, truly, I'm sorry. And that's why the caveat is that your true work, if you make it something that you're always paid for, you might miss it. You can be paid for it in many cases, but maybe not. When you're connected with your truest work, you'll feel fulfilled at a deep level, even if you're frustrated by the pace of the work, the funding of the work, or the physical world circumstances of the work. That said, finding, refining, and using your voice, which is the whole point of this, lands squarely in the interior consonant department. To express and articulate what you've got going on within you, you'll have to, as Jean Houston says, grow a garden in your soul. The alternative title for this class is, not surprisingly, How to Grow a Garden in Your Soul. Soul Garden Principle number one, there will be weeds and neglect no matter what. If we view your voice not as merely a means of expression, but as a living entity like a garden, it's easier to accept that there will be stuff you don't particularly want in that space. Nature abhors a vacuum, so you won't come to your interiors, to your interior continent, and find a pristine glass enclosure waiting for your input. You'll find a landscape laden with debris, shadows, trash, all the stuff you'd rather avoid, and a few plants growing despite their circumstances, like those blades of grass that grow between the sidewalks. The work of a lifetime is making space in the garden for the good stuff while moving the trash and decaying bits and flotsam and jetsam out of this space. It's important to note here that weeds are not a cause for guilt. We all have them. Weeds can spring up overnight in even a tip-top 100% manicured royal garden that's been tended for centuries here in the physical world. That's just how it is, and so weeds do not equal guilt. The first part of building a garden in your soul is acknowledging that a garden of some kind already exists there, and you might not like it right now. That's okay. That's par for the course. That's being human. But a garden already exists, whether you like it or not. Weeds include, but are certainly not limited to, obligations that you loathe. They're just like prickly, nasty creatures that you just, ugh. Telling yourself that you're fine and should just get over it, whatever it is. Again, we're just listing weeds. Shoulds. You should do this. You should do that. You should like this. You should like that. You should care about that cause. You should like that person. You should dislike that person or that group. All the things that you should feel or should do but don't want to. Weeds are those giant stretches of time that you quote-unquote have to dedicate to X but don't want to. Weeds are wounds that you refuse to acknowledge. The totally made-up example here is like your mom died tragically years ago and you're like, no big deal, there's nothing to talk about. Moving on. That's going to be a big giant weed. That's going to be like a thorny bush of a sucker that you have to deal with at some point. Weeds can also be recurring patterns that screw with your life, like overeating, not charging money for your work, spending everything that you bring into your business without paying yourself at all, overusing alcohol to avoid feeling feelings, overusing any kind of drug to avoid feeling feelings, not doing the one thing daily that you've decided is the most important thing you should do daily, whatever that is, and not getting help with a physical ailment, medical illness, or ongoing condition. Weeds sap time, energy, and possibly money from your everyday life. They don't magically turn into vegetables or herbs or flowers or gorgeous vegetation, no matter how long they stick around, so they've got to go. Your job here, and again, we're talking about finding your voice, but we're also talking about plucking out the things that make your voice harder to hear and harder to express. Your job is to notice the weeds one at a time. Doesn't mean they'll actually be eliminated or go away, especially if we're just acknowledging. It means that you can only change what you acknowledge. If there's someone who's like, yep, that ragweed infestation is really fucking with my life and making my allergies go crazy and sapping my will to live, that person is healthier than the person that's like, ragweed infestation? What ragweed infestation? So denial, we're just trying to get out of denial in phase one. These are the things that exist in my garden, and these things suck, and I kind of like these things, and these things are awesome. We're just getting it down to that, because finding your voice is going to be systematically working through those things in the garden that you find unsavory, gross, disgusting, bad, terrible, and unworthy of love or attention. Preach. The value of the weeds is not going to become clear until it has been cleared, if that makes sense. Because even the broken bits and the weeds have value, and that value may not make itself clear for a very long time. And that doesn't mean that you get out of doing the work of clearing your particular garden. There's a poem I found that I think might help bring this to light. It's called Afterword by Jeffrey Harrison. The maple limb, severed by a December storm, still blossoms in May where it lies on the ground. Its red tassels, a message from the other side, like a letter arriving after its writer has died. Even in the broken bits and the bits that fall down, they're still blossoming and there's still value and there's still worth, and it's your job to see it once you go in there. Weeding your garden is about making space for more good stuff to grow. So you don't like what you find? That pattern of overeating or procrastinating or those memories or wounds that you've never looked at or handled or processed? You'll have to pick each one out and ask it what it wants to teach you before it's going to be willing to go away. Weeding your garden is another term for becoming, and becoming is often painful. It is easier to give up on yourself and your soul and your worth and your voice than it is to wade back into the craziness and clear a tiny, tiny patch of soil. It's easier to blame other people for what you find than to take responsibility for, if not putting the stuff there, than failing to clear it out all these years later. To get metaphorical but also very direct, what do you want to clear from your garden at this moment? Not 83 things, not 22 things, just one thing. What of the shoulds or the obligations or the wounds or the memories or the patterns? Are you like, it's time for that to go? Whatever comes to mind is the right answer, and the first answer is always the right one. Which obligation, pattern, worry, memory, or pile of shit has just got to go? Start there and write it down. And that is your focus for the next little while until you've cleared that space. Articulating the desire for that particular thing, pattern, person, relationship, responsibility, or memory to leave your life is the first part of finding, of reclaiming, of using your voice. Voices always begin with desire and wanting. We don't get voices because we got what we want. We get voices because we had it and we lost it, or we want it to begin with. And then we go exploring. And when I'm saying voice here, it might be a physical expression of your voice, saying things out loud. It might be your artwork or your creativity. It might be your whole fucking life when you paint your whole house orange and then put stripes on it and go to town. And it's just, however, voice is simply interchangeable with expression and creativity here. So I don't want you to think that voice is only speaking. Because this process of weeding the garden, of going in, of trying, of refining, of coming back out, of examining your own interiors, it's going to bear fruit in any realm that you can imagine in the physical world. But it's going to be tied to your own efforts at an interior level, if that makes sense. These have taken days and days and days and days to articulate. And so if you're like, I don't understand, I have questions, this is confusing, your metaphors are stupid, Kristen, I get it. And you can always reach out and ask me a question or say more about that. You know where to find me, kay@kristenkelp.com. Soul garden principle number two, you already have plants in there. And it's easier going for the long haul if you stop to identify what you have growing right now. I get it. At first, your garden may be a scary place. You might have abandoned dead trees. You might have tires and old toys and old gas cans in there. I don't know. It may be more mud than vegetation or more parched earth than growth of any kind. That, again, is normal. That's par for the being a human course. Most people live with raggedy, dried up, vermin-infested gardens and are too afraid to do the work of clearing it out. Anytime you're exploring your own interiors or expressing what you find there, we're back to exploring and expressing as twin souls here, you're helping your garden to flourish. Anytime you're helping your garden to flourish, you're refining your voice. I'm going to say that again. Anytime you're exploring your own interiors or expressing what you find there, you're helping your garden to flourish. Anytime you're helping your garden to flourish, you're refining your voice. So if you're like, how does meditation relate to my career? Meditation is exploring your own interiors, and what you express, what you are capable of bringing to the world, grows and is amplified and finds its tendrils in other realms of your life quite easily as a result of your meditation. Every piece of anything I've ever written, shared, or spoken that has touched people deeply has come from exploring and expressing what I've found within my own garden. Particularly the scariest parts and the most abandoned, gross, disgusting, dark, evil-feeling parts like depression and suicidal ideations and the ongoing shame that comes of not being able to beat, defeat, or destroy my mental illness once and for all, despite my best efforts. The pieces, projects, and creations that require the most interior work bear the most emotional fruit. Your audience, whether it's only you or whether you're reaching thousands or tens of thousands, your audience can tell the difference between that which you whipped off to be done with a project and that which you created with great shaking and trepidation because it somehow made you vulnerable. As far as I can tell, vulnerability is the only way to grow a bigger garden. Your evolution and the evolution of your voice and the growth of your garden is dependent upon both your exploration and your expression of the current state of your own interiors. You might be tempted to say there's nothing there, no flowers, no trees, no shrubbery, only shit. But even if you can't see a damn thing, I guarantee there are seeds beneath the surface. By virtue of your being here listening to this, there are seeds at work. So look closer. What's blooming? What is it you're already saying or making or doing? What are you currently expressing to the world? My flowers and vegetation come in the form of healthy relationships, new projects, aspirations, achievements, and experiments. Yours might be attached to certain goals, like that one time you ran a marathon, or they might represent certain fears that you're conquering at the moment. I've got a pretty sweet posting poems on the internet for strangers to see tree growing right now. So write them all down. This, again, pause this shit as soon as I've asked the question and scribble. What is it that you're already making, producing, taking care of, nurturing, or planning? Write those things down. Those are your seeds and your flowers. Those are your focus at the moment. Which relationships are flourishing? Which ways are you really freaking proud of yourself at the moment? Which goals do you see taking root in the soil here? And then to get to blossoming later, we've got to plant some seeds too. What wants to be said? What's pressing against your voice box or your creative impulses? If you're stuck or have no idea what wants to come through, you're completely detached from your own interiors, you can grab a big piece of paper and throw on a song you like. Stop everything and dance with the question, what wants to be made through me? And then dance and see what your body tells you. It might be this stupid thing that you're like, oh my God, are you serious right now? You need me to call my mom and tell her to back off. Awesome. That is a weed that needs to be cleared and that needs to be done right now. And there might be something really obvious and tangible in the physical world that happens, and it might be that you're just tuning in after a long stretch of ignoring your interiors. So whatever happens, put on a song that you like and dance and ask, what wants to be made through me? I would never advise you to do anything I haven't done myself. I did this last night and I made a list of smaller things like podcast ideas and collaborative ideas and article ideas that I didn't know were lurking just beneath the surface. But just putting a song on and dancing with the question, what wants to be made through me, led to a list of 8 really simple, easy things that already integrate into my life that will be made through me in the coming weeks and months. That's not to say that planting seeds is easy and simple and that all this work is like, oh, it's no problem, it's always delightful. But that is to say that the work of becoming is difficult and hard and the most worth it work on the face of the planet, and that you are capable of doing it. All right, that was part one. And if you want to hear part two, you gotta head over to kristenkelp.com/community and become a patron for my Patreon magical membership extravaganza. You can't see the Vanna White hand movements that I'm doing right now, but I am. So it's $8 a month. I promise it's worth it. I have so much fun making classes. This class topic was chosen by my Patreon members, and I made it for them. And you can be part of choosing next month's topic, but you gotta let me know and you gotta become a member. kristenkelp.com/community. And I'll see you next week, guys.